Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Hollywood, it's rated LGBT Radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
Yes, yes, yes. We are here and we are, well, we are queer. And we are rated LGBT radio, and I am Rob Watson. So there you have it. There is the full ID right up front for all of our incredibly valuable and loved listeners. Today we have quite a show for you, as we always try to provide. This is probably about an event you have not heard about, so this could be classified as breaking news. We are going to be talking about an LGBTQ-friendly church that has operated for some time in the lovely city of San Diego, California. And part of their ministry has been to reach out to homeless people, particularly homeless youth. The church is incredibly progressive with an LGBTQ pastor and obviously a congregation that reflects that. The conservative element of San Diego has had the church under scrutiny for some time, and because of their outreach to the homeless, has used that excuse to come in, and where they might have applied different scrutiny to other churches doing similar activities, they have come down with a full-fledged warfare, close you down type of activity towards this church. The church name is Mission Gathering Christian Church, and it's a Disciples of Christ church in San Diego. And the minister there is Brandon Robertson, and Brandon will be our guest today. He is also, besides being the pastor of the church, a noted LGBTQ author, activist, and he works at the intersections of spirituality and social renewal. He has quite a pedigree. He was named by the Human Rights Campaign as one of the top faith leaders leading the fight for human rights. He has worked for political and social leaders around the world to end conversion therapy and promote LGBTQ rights. He serves as the co-chair of San Diego's Pride Devout Interfaith Coalition, and he has served as the national spokesperson of Evangelicals for Marriage Equality and developed the Evangelical Church Program for Faith in Public Life and Bridging the Divides Program for the Interfaith Alliance of Colorado. So obviously, Brandon is an activist and probably a target for those who do not think LGBTQ people have any place in the church at all. Before we meet Brandon and bring him on, we do want to cover some of the topics of the day. And with that, I cannot do that at all by myself. So I'm going to call on the expert brain and know-how and knowledge of one Mr. Brody Levesque. Brody, welcome to the show today. Brody. Okay, I'm not
here.
Hearing Brody.
I'm here. No,
Okay, 2 weeks in a row of technical difficulties. No.
No. We're not gonna do that. I just got a message from Brandon that he's running about 10 minutes behind, and he'll be joining us as he is apparently navigating his way through San Diego traffic. And given how I've had to do that a couple times in the past, although albeit not as bad as Los Angeles traffic, I know how that goes. Good afternoon, Rob. Good afternoon to our listeners, or whatever time that you are joining us when you listen to the broadcast. I guess we'll kick off with a real brief programming note that tonight, of course, is the third round of the Democrat debates, and I think it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out, especially given the tight, you know, runnings in the polling that we've seen, which is showing the former vice president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you go into what the latest polling is for these guys?
Yeah, I was actually just getting ready to do that. All right, so we've got a series of polls, and we're kind of, you know, looking at them to kind of get an idea of where everybody's sitting. And in doing that, we take a look at, you know, raw data coming across. Right now, by taking an aggregate total of most of the polls, Vice President Joe Biden is bouncing back and forth in the lead with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. And again, this depends upon which polling you're running. Also, very tightly put in that equation is Senator Elizabeth Warren. So when we're looking at these models, and I need to, you know, caution that, you know, these polling numbers are, you know, based on sampling across the board, it looks like the top three interchangeably are the vice president, former vice presidents, Senators Warren and Sanders. So it's kind of fluctuating back and forth. And then after them, of course, you've got Senator Kamala Harris of California, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and then Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. And then after those numbers, you know, it's kind of a wild open field in terms of a who's who. So the thing that we're kind of looking for here is to see, you know, what the front runners are going to be looking at. Okay. And looking at it, of course, we're looking at the top three. Okay. Now, as we move into this debate, and we're looking at tonight, okay, we're looking at Biden leading right now, according to CNN's poll, all right, and sitting directly behind him, okay, is a really tight poll race between Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Bernie Sanders. And in this particular case, Senator Warren is leading Senator Sanders. The actual aggregate polling numbers, Biden 24%, Warren 18%, Sanders 17%. Essentially, the rest of the field has dropped into single digits. According to CNN, you're looking at Kamala Harris of California at 8%, Buttigieg at 6%. Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke is now at 5%, and then everybody else is scoring 2% or less in the poll. So the Democratic field looks like it's starting to shake itself out. I guess the big question going into the debate is going to be taking a look at where the core voters are going to be looking at. Particularly in your minority voters, your Black community, and your Latino community. Now, as to be expected, if you start looking at some of the younger set, it looks like Sanders is hemorrhaging a little bit more to Warren in that regard. And Warren is actually having spikes among college-educated voters, which in the model that CNN ran, 26% of that group factor versus 11% without a college degree. So this is kind of what we're looking at right now going into tonight's debate.
Brody, okay, so the three are kind of jockeying around, which right at the outset, just how you're saying that, sounds like extremely bad news for Joe Biden, who was well and above in previous polls. What is the trending here? Who is trending up, even not just with the top three? Andrew Yang is kind of, the fact that he is on the stage at all means that he has done some real leapfrogging, being sort of a fairly low-key person in the pack of 20, and now he is already up in the pack of 10. Who could catch fire and surprise everybody?
Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
The fact that a lot of the Wall Street journalists have are coming after her kind of viciously. I mean, there are a lot of alarmist kind of articles appearing about her. Will that help or hurt her?
I think it's going to depend upon how the voters interpret it. Political ran a piece today on the tensions between the Obama team and Warren when President Obama was in the White House. There was in an article entitled "Why Are You Pissing in Our Face? The Inside Warren's War with the Obama Team." It really talks about and addresses the Wall Street issue. You know, tensions between Warren and Obama were evident to White House aides, even though she was reserving her real fury for Treasury Secretary Geithner and the National White House Economic Council Director Larry Summers. And the reason for that was because she accused both the Treasury Secretary and the Economic Council Director of being predisposed towards big banks, particularly taking aim at Bank of America during the mortgage crisis and the mortgage scandal. And so, you know, that, and she was the one, as you know, on the Dodd bill, who, you know, put together a strengthened way for consumers, which has been, of course, slowly just stripped away by the Trump administration, to do something about, you know, the credit card companies and the big banks like Chase, for example, in terms of, you know, credit cards and quite frankly, predatory practices. So she really doesn't have any fans on Wall Street. And she certainly doesn't have a tremendous amount of what you would consider core support, probably within the big donors of the Democratic Party as versus the vice president, former VP, rather, I should say. So looking at that, you're going to have to kind of tally up your differences and decide, okay, which is going to be the lesser of two evils. And I think that's really what voters are going to be coming down to.
Right. Great. So what else is going on?
There is one thing I did want to talk about that kind of it's there's going to be a lot of discussions about this, and I think that the context of the conversation needs to happen. The City Council of New York City appears that if a lawsuit challenging its ban on conversion therapy hits the Supreme Court of the U.S., that SCOTUS would turn around and issue a ruling that would, for all intents and purposes, protect the practice. And that's not ill-informed, and it's not far-fetched. If the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Thomas More Center, Liberty Counsel, or some of these other religious right and religious right extremist law firms challenge these laws, and they are successful in getting it through a more conservative appellate court, if they get it past the district court level and they get it to, say, it happens in the Fifth Circuit Court, which is predisposed towards conservatism anyway, in terms of the judge makeups and justices on that court, and it lands at SCOTUS. With the current makeup of the High Court, I could see Justice Gorsuch or Kavanaugh or both saying, well, you know, if these are religious, which there's a great majority of these conversion therapy programs are run by churches and religious families. I think the biggest problem with this is that now we get into the religious freedom arguments, and that really is going to be, you know, a sticking point. I think that what the City Council of New York just did is a preemptive strike, but I would fully expect that this is going to be an issue that other jurisdictions, particularly the other, I think we're now up to 18 states that have passed similar laws, you know, banning that practice. They're going to have to be prepared for this because the religious right will do a full court press, and they will frame the context of a legal battle in terms of religious freedom. In other words, they've got the ability to have conversion therapy because it's part of their Christian whatever belief.
Right. Let's really be clear on this, though, because the law that the New York City Council is looking to overturn themselves is a ban on conversion therapy in general. A lot of the
Correct.
laws the states have passed, including New York, has been about conversion therapy for minors. And those laws, nobody is consciously overturning those. And the New York one that would prevent it from being applied to minors would also stand anyway, even in New York City, even if they do.
Correct. But again, this is a preemptive strike because of the structure, and let's face it, we've got some very, very critically important decisions going in front of SCOTUS in the October session. Arguments are going to be heard in several cases that involve LGBTQ rights in the workplace. And I think the city council's, looking at this and going, well, this may not necessarily be a good thing. Maybe we should preemptively strike and do this just on the outside, on the outside chance that that threat becomes a reality. And I have long said, and I have long cautioned, that the religious right is going to take, by whatever means necessary, a pathway to essentially marginalize or strip away the rights of LGBTQ people.
No, absolutely. It just, I guess it begs the question whether this effort, I don't know, for me, there's a little bit of bad taste of rolling something back, even with that threat. Because it's not like that threat won't occur somewhere else in another way. There are going to be many paths to that. I definitely have mixed feelings about that. Understand the strategy that they're looking for, and not wanting to take that fight on themselves, perhaps. But it's still a little bit. I don't know. I have trouble jumping up and down and feeling terribly good about that. But right now, we have standing on deck is none other than Brandon Robertson, and we're going to talk about another city council that is causing some problems. Brandon, I want to welcome you to the show. Welcome to our show.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Oh, our pleasure. So we gave you kind of an intro at the start of the show about the Mission Gathering Christian Church and a very slight overview of what's going on. Why don't you take us back through that, though? What is the history of the church and your involvement of it?
Yeah, totally. Well, essentially, Mission Gathering was one of the first progressive evangelical churches in Southern California to become openly inclusive of LGBT people about 11 years ago when our founding pastor came out as gay in front of the church. And since then, we've been, Mission Gathering's been this force in San Diego for progressive spirituality and progressive justice causes. So we've been a church located right in the heart of North Park, which is one of San Diego's kind of young hipster neighborhoods that has been fighting the homelessness epidemic that we know exists here in Southern California. We've been advocating for LGBT inclusion. We've been just at kind of the forefront of organizing the faith communities of San Diego to speak up for justice. And so for the past 3.5 years or so, we've hosted San Diego's only youth homelessness shelter on our campus. And that shelter specifically reaches out to LGBT youth, but we don't turn anyone away based on sexuality or gender identity. And that shelter has gotten a lot of praise from the city. It's gotten a lot of media coverage over the years. And at the same time, we started, in our neighborhood at least, the only all-age music venue, a place where we could bring people in from across the community to hear great music, see great performers, but in a safe all-ages environment. And that renting out of our sanctuary for that helped us to subsidize our outreach to these homeless youth and also to cover the operational expenses of the ministry in general. And so we've been doing all of that for the past 4 or 5 years. I came on staff as the pastor 2 years ago and continued those ministries and kind of gave new vision and direction to those ministries. And then 2 weeks ago, out of the blue, we got a notice from the city of San Diego telling us that we needed to shut down the homeless youth shelter immediately and stop renting out our sanctuary for these concerts immediately, a decision which, if it stands, it will cost us an upwards of $60,000 to $80,000 before the end of the year, based on the number of rentals we had. It'll turn away about 30 a week homeless youth who have relied on us for the past 3.5 years to be a place where they could come and get connected to services, get hygiene materials, have a place to stay. They're being turned away now based on this city demand on us. And we really feel like this is a unique opportunity for us to kind of speak up, because it feels like the city is targeting us unfairly. We are a unique church. We're doing unique kinds of ministry that you might not see in a lot of other church spaces, but it's important. And at the heart of it is this desire to reach the people that churches aren't traditionally reaching, the LGBT community, and all those people who have kind of would never step into a church for a religious service, but will definitely come for a concert. The long story short is we've been fighting for 2 weeks, trying to put pressure on the city of San Diego to reverse course on these actions. And they haven't really been responsive. They haven't really done much, but we've also seen just immense community support. Thousands upon thousands of people have signed petitions and donated to a GoFundMe campaign to help us kind of fight this battle that the city is waging against us. So that's just a brief overview of a very complex situation.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so, Brandon, so these are activities you guys have been doing for a while. What suddenly, and who did it suddenly catch the ire of, in your opinion?
Totally. So we have, maybe starting in January, I believe it was, there was one particular neighbor who lives about a block away who started complaining regularly about us hosting concerts at our church. So he would call the police, he would call the mayor, and then he would post about it on social media. And so as soon as we started hearing his complaints, we responded by saying, we want to be good neighbors. So we hired new staff at every show that we hosted to monitor sound volumes to make sure we were in compliance with the city. We installed new security systems and required more security guards to be around during rentals. But this neighbor apparently continued to reach out to the city. And eventually, when the summertime came around, we had the police showing up to our church regularly. They even showed up on our Easter Sunday service, which is one of our biggest services in the year, of course. And they showed up because this neighbor was complaining that there were too many people, it was too loud, whatever. And so at that point, I reached out to our city councilman, Chris Ward, who's one of the first openly gay elected officials in San Diego. We've had a good relationship. And I met with him, and I also met with State Assemblyman Todd Gloria, also openly gay, had a good relationship with him. And they both said they were going to support us in this fight against this neighbor who just seemed not to want to have our kind of church in the neighborhood. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. We didn't get very much support. And 2 months later, we got this notice just before Labor Day that told us to shut everything down. And it seems like this one neighbor is winning, but it also seems like there's something bigger going on in the city of San Diego, because we're not the only homeless shelter being affected by this kind of stuff. San Diego has been increasing its prohibitions on what nonprofits and churches can do to help the homeless. And it's also been forcefully closing music venues all over San Diego. So there just seems like a lot is going on. We're not completely sure. I'm not completely sure all of the inner workings of it, but we're hoping to get to the bottom of it because, again, this is, I think, the way faith communities of the future are going to keep looking. We're more interested in helping our community than we are about building big churches. And we need to fund our ministries in unique and innovative ways, because when you're reaching out to the homeless community, it might not be a surprise, but we don't get a ton in offerings. So we find unique and innovative ways to utilize our resources to fund this important ministry. And it seems like the city is attempting to stop us and penalize us for doing that.
So have you met again with the openly gay council member to get some sense of who the the counter faction is being led by inside the city?
So I've requested meetings with Councilman Ward a number of times. And unfortunately, last week on Friday, he released a statement. Really, it felt like trashing our church and spreading false information about our church. Essentially, he released a statement saying that his concern is for the safety of the homeless people and that our church was not creating a safe enough environment. There's just been a resistance to come back to the table this week. So I reached out again today, and I'm hoping that I can get a meeting with him. I've also reached out to Mayor Faulkner here in San Diego and hope that they'll give us a hearing just so we can, again, like you said, we just want to know what's going on and why this is happening, and yeah.
Well, it was slightly more than just also, you know, an attack on the church, Rob. When they came after Mission Gathering, they came after the church with a hammer. They could have come in and said, okay, well, you need to do this and you need to do this, but that wasn't the tactic that the City of San Diego's zoning department employed nor deployed. They literally took the entire, you know, zoning ordinance book of the City of San Diego and dropped it on Brandon's head and his board's head. And I mean, if you were to add up all the potential violations and everything else that the zoning department, you know, has gone against Mission Gathering for, not only would you probably shut the church down permanently, but you bankrupt the thing. And it is specific targeting. Now, as Brandon just said, I've done a little bit of research on this, and there is right now, I think, a serious trend in terms of the City of San Diego going and doing what they can in terms of shutting down the homeless population problems and these other things. Now, I'll note that I've had conversations with California Governor Gavin Newsom and his staff. As you know, the governor is pushing hard for a task force to address the homeless problem, which in the City of Los Angeles, where I report for the LA Blade, it has become just, you know, over the top. We're talking well over 56,000 at any given time on the streets of Los Angeles, and San Diego is not much different. Now, the difference between the two cities, though, is that San Diego does have a tendency to be a lot more conservative, and that is reflected, as a matter of fact, by some of the potential candidates even running for mayor. And in the past, you've had people like Carl DeMaio, John Cox, Chris Kate, and a few others sitting on the city council, and these people, you know, are very conservative. But when you look at what's going on with Mission Gathering, I think the thing that's really important to note here, okay, is this is specific targeting. I also am of, you know, the opinion, and not just because of, you know, Brandon being openly gay and leading a church or the structure of the congregation, but having some background in history, having to reported on a couple stories dealing with a couple of other churches in San Diego, that including the Catholic one, that experienced homophobia, I don't think it would be too far out of line to speculate that this particular neighbor is just not happy with, you know, Brandon and the crew over there for a lot more than just noise complaints.
Yeah, I hear that. I guess the part of the story that mystifies me is the what sounds like a turncoat on the city council who is openly gay himself, who would be at the very least in a position to advocate for the church and especially for the causes that the church is standing for, but who seems to be an active participant in railroading the church down. And that's the piece of this that I find very difficult to put my arms around. Brandon, do you have any speculation why he's not supporting you?
Totally. I don't know the exact reason why Councilman Ward and State Assemblyman Todd Gloria and these folks, San Diego has more LGBT elected officials than almost any other city in the country. And so we've got a large support, even though we're a conservative city, for LGBT rights. What I do think this is the bigger issue that this is pointing to, that's far bigger than our church or whatever is happening here right now, is that within the LGBT community and even broader in the progressive political world, there is just a disconnect between what issues we're going to focus on. And it's our LGBT candidates here in San Diego that are pushing legislation about homelessness that is actually, again, creating these situations where churches, you can get fined in the city of San Diego for giving a sandwich to a homeless person on the street. And there have been churches that have been fined for that. We're getting shut down because we didn't have smoke detectors, which we replaced as soon as we got that notification. But now we have to go through a whole new rezoning process that'll cost us up to $20,000 just to be able to serve homeless youth. And it's just bad policy from anybody's perspective, but specifically from faith communities that want to try to help the city and help California with its homelessness crisis. It's just stunning to me that there's such a disconnect between our LGBT politicians and this desire to help those experiencing homelessness. And we know that so many of the folks on the streets of San Diego and across California are LGBT people that are experiencing homelessness. And these new laws and legislation is just making it harder for these homeless youths and homeless folks to get connected to resources that can actually help them have a second chance at life. And that's one of the things that's been just most dismaying for me in this process. Of course, I'm worried about the sake of our church, and it's a very real possibility that within the next month, I'm going to have to lay off most of my staff. And it's a very real possibility that we're going to have to sell our property before the end of the year, because we just can't financially make it with these new pressures put on by the city. But I'm also dismayed about just the state of how things are going in San Diego. When, again, you have faith communities just trying to help, and the city is making it just unbearably hard for us to do what is the free exercise of our faith, and that is to feed the homeless and to clothe the naked and to speak up for those that have no voice. So it's complex and perplexing for me and our team in so many different ways.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. That's horrible, and I think it's I feel like it's unconscionable. I guess I am more angered by an openly gay person roadblocking this than even, you know, an evangelical, you know, cisgender white Christian, because I kind of expect an education process being needed with the latter, but somebody who's gay, who's in that situation, you know, homeless, gay teens has been something we've talked about for a long time, and to be just brain dead on it and inactive on it, and even worse, attacking those who are doing something about it, is just horrendous to me. I'm actually shocked and appalled at that behavior. Brody,
yeah, totally. We are.
Well, I think that the other part of the problem here, and this is what really, you know, annoys me, okay, and granted, I'm not a resident of San Diego, but I'm very familiar with the city. I have traveled there numerous times in my career as a journalist. In full transparency to our listeners, Brandon and I are old friends. I've known him for a very long time, and was so glad when he got, you know, the pastoral leadership of this particular church. But San Diego's had a problem for a long time in its gay community. And there's a fine line of demarcation between Hillcrest, which is the gayborhood of San Diego, and where Brandon and Mission Gathering are. And even more importantly, there's a Grand Canyon of difference between the willingness of the folks at Hillcrest, okay, and I'm generalizing here, which includes that councilman, okay, to be able to step in and take charge of the functions of helping the very people that Brandon Mission Gathering and the other faith communities in San Diego are trying to help. And that disparity is something that needs to be addressed. You know, it's not just the fact that you've got the city coming down on Mission Gathering, but it's also the fact that here Brandon and his church are trying to do something right. And a substantial portion, okay, of the gay community that should be willing to just get in there and hop on and, you know, get proactive about it, especially the elected officials, aren't doing it. And, you know, one of the reasons I think it's important, you know, to take Brandon's story and Mission Gathering story and put it out nationally like you and I are doing right now, Rob, is because there are other faith communities across the United States that are experiencing similar circumstances. These things are going on in Florida. They're going on in Massachusetts. I know of two in New York. You know, places where you see progressive politics or progressive communities, and yet you're finding this. And it's more than just the not in my backyard crew, the NIMBY crew. And I find it extremely disconcerting, okay, that Brandon and Mission Gathering, excuse me, are doing this. They're putting out a call for help and assistance, all right? But the very people that probably should be leading the charge, leading the fight, standing alongside Brandon aren't doing it, and that's the crowd over at Hillcrest. And so I'm not real thrilled with them at all. Brandon?
Well, yeah, I agree. Brandon, your thoughts?
Totally. I echo what you're saying. And I think, yeah, this is, again, bigger. This is much bigger than just our church. Of course, like I said, there is the real survival of our church is on the line. And that's not us being overly dramatic. That's looking at the budget line and seeing if we can keep this church afloat, which is, again, one of the most prominent LGBT churches in San Diego that is doing work within the LGBT community. I get to serve as the director of San Diego Pride's first ever faith program and all of that. And so that's the perplexing side. Again, going back to the LGBT politicians, our church is known for the service and posture we've taken to aid and help the LGBT community. We've partnered with all of these faith leaders and all of these political leaders on so many different efforts. And now it seems that there is some power that exists within the city that is has a compelling interest to these political leaders that's keeping them from stepping in and stepping up. And the other thing to be noted, we have all these LGBT elected officials involved in this who are going to potentially be complicit in shutting down one of the largest LGBT churches in San Diego. But also Mayor Faulkner has been one of the most supportive Republican mayors in the country on LGBT rights. And he's also a Republican who has a reason to want to support churches existing, as is such a part of the Republican Party's base. And so we're so perplexed to see our Republican mayor, who has worked with the LGBT community and has worked with faith leaders so faithfully, pushing this along with all of these LGBT elected officials. Again, we're perplexed as to what the reasoning is behind the scenes that we're not able to access.
Yeah, definitely. Brandon, can you give us some human vision, human stories to what happens with your program of the real people who are being served, the homeless teens? What are some things that you've observed that have been accomplished with what you've been doing?
Totally. I mean, over this past year alone, up to year to date right now, we've served over 1,300 homeless youth in our youth shelter. And again, we're not just like so many other organizations that can rightfully be critiqued for perpetuating homelessness. We're not just bringing people in, giving them a place to sleep once a week, and then expecting them to come back a week later. Our church started what is now the largest youth homelessness organization in San Diego called Urban Street Angels. And so these 1,300 youth that come into our Tuesday night program, we not only give them a warm meal and a place to sleep, but we connect them to transitional housing. We connect them to job opportunities and job training. We connect them to educational opportunities. Urban Street Angels just opened up a massive facility downtown and is about to purchase a hospital facility elsewhere in San Diego to help put actual homeless youth in actual places where they can stay long-term and begin to build a life that is fruitful. And again, we're the only youth shelter in the entire city of San Diego. So now, since last week, there is none in the entire city. And it should say something that in the first 9 months of 2019, there's already been 1,300 youth that have come through the shelter. And I've already stated, the homelessness crisis in San Diego and Southern California is immense. But now the city is persecuting those of us who are actually giving real substantive answers to the crisis. And again, our church, if you were to show up on a Sunday morning, you would see the faces of so many people who have either come through our program or come through programs like that, who experienced homelessness because they were rejected by families or friends or churches because of their sexuality. But they found in our church and in our programming a place where they were affirmed and welcomed both by God and by a community that represents God, and have had a second chance at life. And that's who our church is. That's the story of Mission Gathering. And that story may now be coming to an end because of these pressures from the city of San Diego.
I think that one of the other things that needs to be pointed out, Rob, is that, and looking at this from my perspective as a political reporter, you know, you're talking about the organic part of it when you're talking about Brandon and his parishioners and what's going on. And in a lot of ways, you know, I deal with the same thing when I'm writing stories. But, you know, here's the truth. And hear me, city council and mayor of San Diego. If you essentially eliminate the Mission Gathering Church, it's not just those homeless people that are going to be directly impacted. It's members of the congregation. It's members of people who are in crisis. It's people that Brandon may counsel in his pastor's study. There's a whole just another layer of issues that go with this. And this is what angers me. You put Mission Gathering Church out of business, and I will guarantee you 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 suicides of LGBT homeless youth or a transgender individual or something, because they've got nowhere to turn to. It has a direct impact. There will be collateral damage, and the collateral damage can be measured in human lives, literally, and in the quality of life, you know, for the people that Brandon and his staff and the folks at Mission Gathering over the last decade, okay, have been trying to help and do by the right thing. And I would think that if you were an elected official, especially when you have city services that are overly burdened and overwhelmed, particularly if you consider that we have another layer of crisis on that city because of the immigration nonsense going just a little bit south at San Ysidro and everything that's associated with that, that you would gladly want the assistance of a church. But no, it's better to run them out of business. This is exactly why people distrust government. You get something going, and I know because I've been reporting on nonsense like this for 4 decades, but this is the type of thing, okay, that even I as a journalist can't be silent about. And it's not just because Brandon is my friend, and it's not just because, you know, and Brandon knows me. I'm an atheist who hates all kind of religion. Okay, but the thing is, okay, Brandon and his church are fulfilling a necessary service and a needed service, not just for the LGBTQI community, but the greater citizenry, okay, of San Diego. Rob?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I guess part of me is just shocked at the LGBTQ perspective of this. From the community at large, and particularly the public officials, because the LGBTQ homeless issue, apart from homelessness in general, has always been something that we have talked about as the next wave of focus after marriage equality, one of which, obviously the transgender rights and transgender protection also, and LGBTQ seniors. And to have a pretty much the sole program of the community being under attack, and not only under attack like from somewhere else, but through the people who should be protecting it, is pretty much shocking to me. I don't understand that.
And I'll just say also, I just as a last note here, that I received an email yesterday from my dear friends who have an Episcopal church about a half mile from our church. And they said that just this week, the city of San Diego showed up with inspectors and they run the largest homeless shelter called Uptown Services in North Park at their facility. And the inspector showed up this week and are threatening code violations to them as well. So this now is looking like mission gathering. It will be the first of many churches that specifically have a progressive bent that are benefiting the LGBT community, but also have a passion for homelessness and helping those experiencing it. It seems like the city might be attacking quite a few of us.
Brandon, yeah, that sounds like a concerted effort. Yeah,
that's a concerted effort. That's just wrong.
Good, buddy.
Sorry, Rob. No, it's a concerted effort. Now, Brandon, you should know that I have made some other phone calls. I have a source with the Archdiocese. They're telling me, okay, that one of their parish churches, which has got a hot lunch program, okay, had folks from zoning enforcement show up over there. So you're telling me that just down the block from you, the Episcopal Church is getting nailed. I'm telling you the Archdiocese has a problem too.
Yeah, which, again, I mean, clearly there is, my inclination is to say that there is development money and housing money at work here. And I had an off-the-record conversation with one of the highest elected officials in San Diego, who said to me candidly that it was his desire that churches in neighborhoods like North Park and Hillcrest, which are up-and-coming neighborhoods, churches that bring homeless folks to us should be closed down because it's lowering the value of homes and lowering the neighborhood's general vibe that people are wanting. And so if that is truly the attitude at work behind the scene here, then from a Christian perspective, there's nothing more sinister than desiring to stop those who are trying to help those in need. And I think just from a common human decency perspective, that's pretty darn sinister and needs to be stopped.
So, Brandon, what are your next steps on this? Brandon, what are your next steps moving forward on this?
Well, we've been talking to, lawyers from across the country reached out because there is also a significant religious freedom violation here. It is protected under the First Amendment, our free exercise. A fundamental exercise of Christian religion is feeding the poor. And so we are moving in that direction to take legal action against the city of San Diego. And we're also going to do some direct action next week. We've got a ton of activists that have reached out to us, and we're planning on going down to the city council meeting and packing it out and demanding that the city fesses up about whatever is going on and reverses course. But again, if these actions don't produce actual change, then not to hammer the point home, but it is what's on my mind every day, that our church, we're going to have to sell our property and relocate and lay off our staff before December comes. So,
is there any orchestrated activism in the community? I mean, it seems like the homeless activists, it seems like there could be a coalition brought together to bring this combined issue up to a higher level. Is that not happening or able to happen?
That totally has happened. And in fact, on the last Thursday, we hosted a prayer service just for our church to pray through all of this. And every person who was running for Councilman Ward's seat, because this is an election year for him, every one of his people running for that seat showed up and voiced their support and said they wanted to help us. So it seems, hopefully, that when the change of government happens, we have some allies that will be in office. But we've also had the homeless activists from all over San Diego show up, we've had a GoFundMe page that's emerged, and people from all over San Diego have been helping us pay legal fees, and a petition emerged that has almost 4,000 signatures on it. So we've been overwhelmed, honestly, by community support and being able to see just how important our community and our outreach has been to so many people around San Diego. And that's what's keeping me hopeful in the midst of this, is that the army of us pushing against the city is far bigger than whoever these few elected officials may be that are trying to shut us down.
Yeah, definitely. Brandon, what haven't we asked you about this that we should be discussing?
Honestly, I think you've done a pretty thorough job. We're just again, it's kind of at this point, we're in a watching and waiting game. We keep trying to raise our voice and trying to call to stir and use the power of media to influence politicians. But the reality is, all we can do on our side is we're having as many repairs done as we can reasonably do around our campus to make sure that we are in code compliance and that our campus is safe. And next week on Tuesday, the city has said they're going to come out and reinspect the campus. So we'll see what that does, if anything. But we're just in this moment where we're looking for as many resources and ideas and options as possible to continue to push back on the city, because if we're going to go down, if we're going to be forced to sell our property, we're not going to do it silently, and we're not going to let the city just have what I think they expected, which is we're a fairly small church, and they thought they'd be able to shut us down with a little drama. And they messed with the wrong church full of LGBT activists. So we're raising this issue up, and we're going to make sure that people know about what's going on.
Absolutely. And people listening to this and want to get involved or help, what are some websites or resources they should go to?
Yeah, if you just go to our church's website, missiongatheringsd.org, our homepage now is dedicated to this. And so you'll see our press conference on there. You'll see our links to contact the mayor's office and the councilman's office. You'll see our GoFundMe page and our petition. It's all there on that homepage at missiongatheringsd.org.
For our listeners out there across the United States, you know, this may seem like it's a local issue, but it really isn't. It's actually a bigger issue than that. I would implore you, if nothing else, send the cost of a cup of coffee or a large pizza to Mission Gathering at their GoFundMe. This is a critical fight. This is a fight that needs to be won. This is a fight that needs to be fought. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a value add to not only the community, but to the general, you know, community of humanity besides California.
I appreciate you saying that. Brendan,
my personal best wishes to you. I really believe in what you're doing. The cause itself is incredibly important. For those who don't realize this, about 40% of all teens who are homeless are LGBTQ. It's a much higher percentage than the population per capita would dictate, and it's because of a lot of things, Brendan, you talked about, of people being young people being thrown out of their homes because when they come out and being in an intolerant environment and find themselves homeless. And it is a tragedy that the rest of the LGBTQ community, in my opinion, should be stepping up and embracing, because these are our kids that we should be standing out and putting in within our welfare. And so not supporting an effort that does this is, I'm really incredibly shocked that it is what it is, and you're in a place that you're having to defend it. I mean, you should be just garnering all sorts of incredible support. Brody, any final words that you want to add on this?
No, nothing except, you know, Brandon, you and I have been friends for a long time. You know, I am an atheist and then some, but you also know that I hold you in the highest regard. I applaud the efforts of not only you, but the entire staff at Mission Gathering. And, you know, Brandon, my friend, persevere. I really want to see you win this battle.
Well, thank you so much, seriously, to you, Brody, and to this show, and for being able to lift up this opportunity. I appreciate you making some time, Rob, to raise up the story.
Our pleasure, and we hope you come back, Brendan, and you can talk to us about a lot of issues, because you cover such a huge wealth of knowledge and expertise that, you know, obviously we didn't get to today because we're focused on the core thing. But like I said, you have my heart and my soul is behind you, and I hope that you overcome this and get to the other side with great success. And again, can you repeat the contact information for people who want to help?
Yes, it's www.missiongatheringsd.org. And again, everything is right there as soon as you go to that web address.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I want to thank Brandon for coming on and telling the story. I hope our listeners get involved in this and call, write letters, contact the City Council of San Diego, you know, look and see what's happening in your own communities. Because as Brody pointed out, this is center to San Diego, but it is not unreflected elsewhere. I want to thank you for listening to our show. Also, tell your friends that on any smartphone or cell phone, if they go to the podcast app, they click on that, just type in Rated LGBT Radio and subscribe. We welcome that and hope you do it. We are 5-star rated. And we will be back here again next week. Also, listen to Out in Santa Cruz on www.ksco.com. That's on Saturday nights at 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Pacific time. Brody, I want to thank you for all you do in your production of the show and co-hosting duties and being a complete and total wonderful journalist to the world. We will be back again next week, as I said, and I want to thank our listeners very, very much, and we will talk to you again then.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio!